Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
For the past 9 years, I've been privileged to be part of a great American family, the family of American intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
I've lived in the
great
heart
American family
of the CIA.
9/11. It's a great family of intelligence. What a family of intelligence with a combined IQ of 90.
Disappointment, of happiness, and of sorrow.
What a bunch of garbage. You should be in an orange jumpsuit.
Last evening.
This is George Tenet with his tearful resignation speech from 04. It's come out today that the man was exactly like he looked, as he looked, pink tie and all, a complete loser. Appointed by Bill Clinton, that should have said it all. Why Bush kept him, of course, is obvious to us by now. It's because there's a seamless transition between Democrats and Republicans in the one-party system that we have inherited or that we have devolved into, the Democrats or the Republicrats. I mean, why would he keep George Tenet when George Tenet was a man who permitted 1993 World Trade Center attack to occur? George Tenet was a complete and total, let us say, failure at his job. If he was in the private sector, he would have been fired. But since he's a government employee, he retires with a fat pension, and now he's teaching at Georgetown. They either go to Georgetown or to the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. That's where the good old boys go to get another nice fat job and pension. But a report came out today. Why don't you play the crying? Now, let me ask you, in the next clip, you're going to hear George Tenet crying at his resignation. If you were Al-Qaeda, if you were a desert-hardened warrior, if you've been trained to kill from the time you were born, if your ancestors were killing from the time they were born, going back 1,200 years, and your enemy is headed up by an intelligence chief who cries when he resigns while wearing a pink tie, as you will hear in the following speech, question, would you be afraid of the United States of America? In clip 35, listen to this.
9 years ago when I became the deputy director, a wonderful young man sitting in the front row was in the second grade. He came right up to my belt. I just saw a picture of the day that Judge Freese wore me in, and he's grown
Hold
up
it.
To be.
Did he say the day Judge Freese wore him in? Wore me in? Did I hear that right? The day Judge Freese wore me in? I mean, I've lived in San Francisco too long. Maybe I'm hearing things. Did he say wore me in or swore me in? Rewind it slightly.
I just saw a picture of the day that Judge Freese wore me in.
He said wore me in. Okay, play the rest of it. Maybe I'm going to catch other. Look, he's in the intelligence community. I got to listen carefully. Let's listen carefully.
To be.
He's crying now. He's choked up with tears over his own importance.
The point is, Jermichael's going to be a senior next year.
I get him off my show. This guy wouldn't last 4 seconds in radio. Do you know that? Do you know that most of the schmucks in government couldn't get a job in radio as a production assistant? They couldn't be a board operator. You pay him $150,000, $160,000 full retirement, travel around on C-47 cargo planes fitted for a king. You know, behind that camouflage is like a waterbed, the life they lead. Yeah, sure. Believe me, the best and brightest aren't in government. It's the meanest and stupidest usually go into positions like this. You know what I love about my show is each day, one day at a time, I make new friends on the Savage Nation. One day at a time, one listener at a time, Michael Savage makes new friends. Now, do you want to talk about this? Because the report came out, CIA missed chances to thwart Al-Qaeda. I'm glad we're learning it now like we knew it then. It's a report from June of 05 and kept classified until now. 19-page executive summary says the CIA, in other words, was filled with a bunch of doofus morons. The CIA's top leaders failed to use their available powers, never developed a comprehensive plan to stop al-Qaeda, and missed crucial opportunities to thwart hijackers in the run-up to September 11th. The agency's own watchdog concluded in a bruising report released today. This is a brand new report. Let me ask you what's going to happen. Answer, nothing. The answer is that as we speak, Tenet is being called by Larry King. Hello, Judge. It's Larry. You want to come on tonight and give him a whitewash? You know they're all schmucks out there. Yeah, I got some garlic for you, too. By the way, how was the heart? How's the prostate? How's the cane? How's the heart? How's the prostate? it's frightening. How do we survive? You know, the only reason this country survives is because the founding fathers were such geniuses, number one, that these moron, petty bureaucrat martinets from hell don't have the authority to take us over yet and run our lives into the ground even more. And number two, the American people work harder than anybody on earth. Other than that, there's no reason for this great enterprise to go on. It's unbelievable to me. Do you know anybody who's really smart who went into government? Do you know anybody who would choose government over business or over, let's say, art or science? Let's say if you're really smart, would you say, well, what I want to do is go to work for the U.S. government if you're really smart? I mean, is that a goal for a boy? I don't know anybody. I mean, when I was a kid, okay, they want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, something like that. It turns out they were not great choices. We understand that. In most cases, they were not great choices. The medical profession has been undermined by socialism. And so a guy who goes to medical school for whatever, 8 years, comes out, he doesn't make as much money as an auto mechanic in most cases. It's a losing proposition. So the only people going into medicine are those who are coming in from the third world, by and large. And maybe there are some diehard healers. As far as law, nothing needs to be said about it. I need to say nothing about lawyers. The only lawyers I like are the ones that are my friends. All the rest of them should go by the way of Dick the Butcher's recommendations. Now, we then go on to the third profession, dentist. The only dentist I have respect for is the man who puts a drill in my mouth. Other than that, I'm glad I never became a dentist. But who would want to go into government work? The answer is those who can't do anything else other than that. And then they go to Georgetown or Kennedy or whatever, and then that's it. How do you feel today now that you know that the CIA, now that you definitively know that the CIA missed chances to thwart al-Qaeda? How could you feel? Tell me how you could feel. You could feel that you were raped. That's all. The proper thing to do to George Tenet today would be to send in U.S. Marshals to Georgetown with handcuffs and say, all right, George, it's all over. You got away with murder. You did nothing. You're a flop. The American people knew it. It was covered up by the commission that wrote the 9/11 report because they're just like you. You may be teaching at Georgetown, but you're going to jail. Tenet, now a professor at Georgetown University, heavily criticized the report as, quote, flat wrong, unquote. Don't you love it? Flat wrong. In other words, it's not a scintilla of truth. It's 100% wrong. So, Mr. Tenet, let me ask you something. Since it's 100% wrong, how come 9/11 happened? Duh. Wait, let me go back to my swivel notes on that one. He said that CIA Director Michael Hayden said he did not want to release the report, saying, quote, it would distract officers serving their country on the front lines of a global conflict. It will, at a minimum, consume time and attention, revisiting ground that is already well plowed. I don't think so, Mr. Hayden. I don't think it's been ground that's been well plowed. The American people would like to see those responsible for the failure of 9/11 to lose their pensions and to go to jail for a couple of years. I mean, let's analyze this. You've got Scooter Libby, who did not leak anything about that fraud, that blonde fraud and that trick husband of hers. Or shall I say the blonde trick and the fraudulent husband of hers. He did not release any information about her, right? But he was given 2.5 years in jail because he dared fib to a federal prosecutor. But actually, no one got hurt. Think about it. What did Scooter Libby do that hurt anybody? Answer, nothing. It hurt the ego of Fitzpatrick, the prosecutor, right? But Tenet's failures led to the deaths of 3,000 American citizens and a $1 trillion war on terror. That could have been, conducted earlier on if they had balls and brains. Pardon me for using a brusque language that would normally be used by intelligent people in direct conversation after a few drinks. But since I don't drink during a show, I'll just pretend I do. And so, therefore, he's caused a lot of damage to this country. Should George Tenet be arrested for what? What should George Tenet be arrested for, if anything? Or, if you're a liberal, do you believe that we got what we deserved? Or further yet, do you think that George Bush and Dick Nixon did it. They actually flew the planes and bailed out over New Jersey before the planes hit the World Trade Center. I know that some people on the left actually believe that, well, because they say George Bush was a pilot. He flew in the National Guard. First they said he didn't really fly in the National Guard. Then they could argue on the internet, the bloggers, that he did. Since he flew in the National Guard, he could fly the planes, which proves that he did fly the planes on autopilot into the and Dick Cheney actually slashed the throats of the stewardesses, according to the left, and he too bailed out with a pacemaker and all. You know, that's actually what's going on. Play George Tenet crying again, please. Play it once
again. 9 years ago when I became the deputy director, a wonderful young man sitting in the front row was in the second grade.
I get him off the show. And to think he's from Queens. That's the worst part of it, Queens, New York. Where did he go to high school? That's what I wanted. That'll tell me everything I need to know. When I went to Jamaica High School, nobody I knew ever said, when you grow up, you want to work for the government. I never heard anyone say, yeah, I want to go to work for the government. It was an embarrassment. Nobody would have admitted they would rather work for the New York Sanitation Department, you know, than go to work for the federal. It was so remote. I don't know how anyone from Queens would have wanted a job like that. Who in Queens, raise your hand, wanted to work for the government? All right, I had an uncle in the post office. He recently passed away. Now I could put him down. I never liked him. But aside from him, I knew no one in my family worked for the federal government. May God rest his soul, that he went to the next world. He should enjoy himself over there. But I'm asking you a question. Do you know anybody who ever wanted to work for the federal government? Lighten up already. It's the summertime. What do you want me to do? To take this seriously? You think something will happen to him? You must be joking. I guarantee he's been lobbying to go to work for Hillary Clinton or whichever Democrat won. He's on his pogo thing. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. How you doing, Joe? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry, George. When we take power, you'll have a big job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all walking. And there's that other schmuck, General Wesley Clark, the biggest putz in the history of the military. Wesley Clark thinks he's going to be the defense secretary. He's going to be rewarded for stabbing the military in the back. They'll make him the head of the military. If you had any idea how these people operate with their little pogo sticks and their cocktail parties and the little sailing ventures, and they all are planning the next government right now. It's a revolving door of doofuses and failures that go around and around and around from administration to administration. Was he responsible for dereliction of duty, yes or no? That's all. And what's going to happen if you say yes? You think something's going to happen? You're going to feel good for 2 seconds? I got on Michael Savage's show and I said George Tenet should be arrested for dereliction of duty and they should stop the anchor babies in the country at the same time. And on top of that all, the SOB in San Francisco did that to him. 14th Amendment. Could we modify the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution to make certain that any federal employee who fails us goes to jail? I'll be right back. Savage.
Like a State of the Union speech, right? Good morning to all of you. For the past 9 years, I've been privileged to be part of a great American family, the family of American intelligence.
All right, let's pause right there. Just let the music play out before I barf. Complete. I'm playing bouzouki music because it's the appropriate music for this charade. This charade of who's responsible for 9/11. The answer is they're all responsible for it, but fundamentally it falls on George Tenet's back. He was director of the CIA. Play the music, would you? You'd rather hear that than me. Born in Queens to Greek immigrant parents. All right, don't blame them. Went to Benjamin Cardozo High School. Where's Cardozo High School? Who's Benjamin Cardozo? I mean, it has nothing to do with George Tenet. Thank God he's Greek. I mean, in a sense, thank God he's Greek. It's nothing against Greek people, but thank God he's not something else. I'm glad he's Greek. That's all I can say. That's a joke for those who understood what I just said. Oh, come on. Why is it so slow? Is this why he couldn't figure it out? The music slowed him down? I mean, if you grew up listening to this music, no wonder you can't figure out how to beat Osama bin Laden. Whatever happened to the Greeks? They came to America, they did well, and that was it? Oh, now it's better. Faster, faster. Maybe they played the wrong piece of the music to him in the crib. Wait a minute. Aristotle Onassis was Greek. He did well, but he wasn't born in Queens. He was born in Greece, and his village was burnt to the ground by Muslims. And so that kind of put a fire under his behind. And that motivated him to become a great businessman, you know. Faster, would you play the music faster? What is this? Oh, it's not funny. Turn it off already. U.S. spy agency overseen by Tenet lacked a comprehensive strategic plan account, though some have been long enough. The inspector general concluded that, quote, Tenet, George Tenet, we're talking about not a Tenet farmer, not a Tenet of a... we're talking about George Tenet, former CIA director, who was thrown out on his butt, who then cried during his resignation on 60404, but has thus far been rewarded with a job at Georgetown University teaching, I guess, intelligence, or how to be a great intelligence bureaucrat without any intelligence. The report today, and they hid this from us since 05, the report says, quote, by virtue of his position, bears ultimate responsibility for the fact that no such strategic plan was ever created. Let's stop right there. Now, strategic plan to counter Osama bin Laden. It's by definition impossible for a bureaucrat to create a strategic plan for a few reasons. One, because most of them became bureaucrats because they have no capacity for strategic thinking. That's number one. If they had any strategic thinking, they wouldn't be bureaucrats. They're very good at thinking a few steps ahead, but not coming up with a strategic plan for anything. That's number one. So the mindset of people who become bureaucrats is not sufficient for the enemy we're facing, who grew up playing triple chess in four dimensions. And we got guys who can't even play backgammon who are running these agencies. Let me repeat that. The Arab mind, the Semitic mind, the Bedouin warrior mind, if you underestimate it, makes you into a big moron. The Semitic mind, the Bedouin mind, the Arab mind, whichever way you want to put it, particularly the enemies who hate us, are playing triple chess in four dimensions. And we've got guys who are playing backgammon in one dimension, and they've lost half the pieces on the board, but nothing ever happens to them. They are rewarded for being monodimensional uni-thinkers. Do you understand that? Sure, he got a master's at Georgetown. And what does that mean? Coming up next, CIA, former CIA man, Michael Scheuer, who really knows the ins and outs of all of this. I want to ask Mr. Scheuer if there's any truth to this, or am I just going off at the wrong man? You listen, I decide.
Savage.
We are playing Inspector Clouseau music here on Savage Nation because a new and scathing report that has been hidden for a few years was just released saying that former CIA director George Tenet was unprepared for Al-Qaeda threat. And you want to read the entire report. It's very lengthy. It's pretty interesting. It's on michaelsavage.com. If you're that kind of personality, it's good bathroom reading if you have problems. Right now, we have an expert who may be able to shed some more light on this report. Michael F. Scheuer, he's a 22-year CIA veteran. He served as the chief, listen to this, between 96 to 99, specifically of the Bin Laden issue station. That was the Osama Bin Laden tracking unit at the counterterrorist center. Okay. Mr. Scheuer, where are you? Line 5, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Savage.
All right, so is there any responsibility at the highest level or what?
Well, I think what this should do for the American people is, one, to give them a little more confidence in the credibility of their intelligence community, but also to let them realize that the 9/11 Commission and the Congressional Commission both whitewashed personal responsibility for what happened on 9/11. The CIA.
Yeah, I understand that. I even said that when I read the report on the air back in 9/11. It sounded like a whitewash. But did you open by saying these reports should give us more confidence in the intelligence community?
On the working men and women, I think they should, sir. Not below the people below the senior level. You have to realize that nothing in that report that was published today was information other than that was provided by the working people at CIA.
And I get it.
And I can tell you...
No, this is very much like police departments across America where the cop on the street is the hero doing their job by and large to the 98th percentile, and the police chiefs and above are usually political animals. And it's the same here, isn't it?
It is, sir, and I have to tell you, I wrote memorandums to George Tenet in 96 and 97, alerting him to the problems we were having with other parts of the intelligence community about not having enough people to work the issue and he simply ignored them. And the 9/11 Commission never raised that issue with anyone.
Mr. Scheuer, weren't you featured on a few television shows where, I think it was yourself, where you had field operatives out there who had been laden in the sights of their guns, and it was killed from a higher level up? Is that you?
Yes, sir. We were never authorized to kill him. We were authorized to capture him or to provide information to the U.S. military that they could use to kill him. And
there was a report that they saw a man, a tall man in a white, flowing robes. He was very tall. And he came with a hunting party, which included women and children, to an undisclosed location, I believe, in a valley in Afghanistan. That's the report I'm talking about. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yes, sir. That was one of the occasions. But overall, between May of 1998 and May of 1999, President Clinton could have killed or captured him 10 different times.
Okay, interesting. Why didn't Clinton do so?
Well, all American politicians are very afraid of international opinion, Mr. Savage, whether it's Muslim opinion or European opinion. And the time you're speaking about, bin Laden was going to dinner with a prince from the United Arab Emirates. And Clinton's government was afraid if they killed that prince, his dad wouldn't buy the $8 billion worth of F-16s.
And of course, now we have some very famous lobbyists for the United Arab Emirates, such as Madeleine Albright works for them. The wonderful Bob Dole took a job for them trying to sell us the Dubai ports deal. And you don't want to upset business. I understand that.
Yes, sir. That's exactly the problem, sir.
All right, so we're compromised. We're an empire, overextended, and we're compromised at every turn.
Well, we're certainly...
Now, you, Mr. Scheuer, look, you're the real McCoy. You were there, I'm not, but I have a fairly good analytical ability. You've written some amazing books. One of them was called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. What is your summary of that book? Why are we losing the war on terror?
We don't take it seriously, sir. This is not a cops and robbers operation involved against us. We can never defend ourselves by arresting people one man at a time. We have to face the fact that there are tens of thousands of Muslims who are going to attack us, and we haven't faced that yet, sir.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, in other words, if we use the B-1 bomber on a heavily fortified area where they're training, for example, and the last thing they saw when they came up from a coffee break was the looming image of a B-1 bomber which arrives silently and kills them all. If that happened a few times, would that put a dent into the opposition?
It might have to happen a few hundred times, Mr. Savage, but it certainly is going to put a dent in the opposition.
A few hundred times? A few hundred times? That's frightening, because it hasn't happened once, so far as I know.
No, sir, it hasn't. We have sat as a Western society from 1982 forward and have never attacked any of their training camps until we attacked the ones in 2001. There have been training camps operating around this world for terrorists since 1982, and none of our presidents from 1982 forward attacked any of them.
Well, that's, of course, because of, again, the business connections with Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, etc. So that leaves us in a vulnerable position, and apparently what? We're going to fall? We're just going to fall because of greed and corruption?
Well, I think we're going to get badly damaged again, sir. I think you just saw today the president and the Canadian prime minister and the Mexican president said they wanted security, but they didn't want to interfere with business. So we're not going to have any border security, so we're going to get hit again.
So it's Goldman Sachs Uberalis. Is that what it is?
Well, right now, sir, that appears to be the case. I think what's going to happen, though, is the savior of the United States will be Osama bin Laden. He'll kill 20 or 40,000 more of us inside of America, and then Americans will realize what a bankrupt political system they have in both the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, wait a minute. And when we do come to that conclusion, which I've arrived at before, what happens then? All these guys and gals are going to start shuffling around, giving us speeches, singing the Star Spangled Banner off key outside the Congressional Hall, and we're going to be in the same place we were before we said throw the bums out. Who's going to take over their job?
Well, I don't know, sir. I think these people will want their jobs, and they'll use the American military in the way it was meant to be used, with kind of indiscriminate ruthlessness until people leave us alone.
Well, I've talked to enough military guys who are chomping at the bit to do the job that they're capable of doing, and using the weaponry that we've spent trillions of dollars developing, that is not being used, again, to not interfere with trade, you know, the Silk Road that runs from China around the globe right now. They don't want to upset a brick on the Silk Road. But the question is the military, and here's the real question, Mr. Scheuer, and this is what bothers me. By what I've seen in terms of who's being promoted within the military, I see guys with MBAs, and unto themselves an MBA is not a bad thing, but it worries me when I see academicians in military uniform being appointed by George Bush. Are they still capable of doing the kind of thing that George Patton did?
I don't think they are, sir, but I think we're raising a whole generation of younger officers at the major, captain, lieutenant colonel level who are going to have 2 or 3 years combat experience and are going to think like Patton thought. But I think America is going to have to absorb an awful lot more pain before we get to them.
Mr. Scheuer, this is a great conversation for me because I feel as though I'm speaking with someone who, A, knows what he's talking about and thinks the way I expect someone who actually knows the danger we're in to speak to the American people. Although this audience is rather small compared to some, it's an activist audience, as you probably are aware. In these military academies today, has political correctness, to use a phrase I hate, seeped into the extent that they're not taught to wait into the enemy until his guts are hanging out, and that no poor dumb, ever won a war by dying for his country? He won a war by making the other poor you-know-what die for his country. Are they still taught that?
Well, Mr. Savage, I'm not a military guy, but I have read all of the books on the commandant's list for the Marine Corps and for the Army Chief of Staff, and you can't read those books and not believe what you just said. I think the difference is in the type of leadership we've developed in the Pentagon. You know, all of these generals in the Pentagon are singing the song that we've tried the military option and it doesn't work, and now we have to negotiate. Well, I'll tell you what.
That is surrender as far as I'm concerned. We haven't used the military. We've used boys in hand-to-hand combat. And when they do their job a little too well, they wind up with a court-martial. That's because George Bush is the worst commander-in-chief in the history of this country.
Well, he'd have to go some to beat Clinton, but I think he's in the running anyway, sir.
Okay. Well, okay, so what do we do now? We keep going back to your primary point. We're going to get hurt again. 40,000 of us are going to be dead before something happens.
I'm afraid that's the... I worked against bin Laden for most of the 90s and into the new century. And every time we were attacked from 1992 forward, I thought that would be the end of the road, that the government in power at the time would unleash the American military. It didn't happen when 2 were killed. It didn't happen when 20 were killed. It didn't happen when a destroyer was almost sunk. It didn't happen when 3,000 Americans were killed. There must be a number where we begin to defend ourselves. I don't know what that number is, Mr. Savage.
My God, are you articulate. You are an articulate gentleman, but that's because you've seen the face of hell, and you're telling us exactly what it looks like when you look into that darkness. You know who these people are, probably more so than I do, although my imagination is quite vivid, and I can pretty much... If I sat with you and I role-played with you and I said, does Bin Laden and his lieutenants think like this, and you would say yes or no or modify it, we'd get pretty far pretty fast. I can tell you right now that they think very clearly. They're not afraid of us because they see men like George Tenet in a pink tie crying on it and his resignation like a sissy. Doesn't that embolden the enemy?
Absolutely, sir. There's no doubt about it. In their culture, manliness and a willingness to wage war for what you believe in is very strong. It's as strong as it was in America in World War II. And we've lost it. They have it. They don't have a lick of respect for us, sir. Not a lick. They don't think we're strong. They don't think we're patient. And they know we won't kill them. So they really don't have anything to be afraid of right now.
I'm not speechless. I'm silent, which really is rare on this show, Mr. Scheuer. Because if I were just speaking to a caller or an author, you know, the words would have a certain degree of meaning. But I'm speaking with Michael F. Scheuer. He's a 22-year CIA veteran, but more than just being a CIA bureaucrat, he served as the chief between 96 to 99 of the Bin Laden Issue Station. That was the Osama Bin Laden tracking unit at the Counterterrorist Center. This man probably cannot tell us things that he knows, but I'm sure he's getting as close as he dares on the show today. And Mr. Scheuer, is there nothing the American people can do to make something proactive happen before 40,000 of us are dead?
Well, I would certainly hope so, but there's no choices out there, sir, at the moment. The only realistic voice in all of those presidential candidates is Mr. Paul, who says, you know, this is a much bigger problem. Whatever you ascribe the enemy's motivation to, it's a much bigger problem. It can't be fixed by making them healthier. It can't be fixed by anything except killing large numbers of them until we get their attention. And make
all right, can we talk about that? Do you have another 10 minutes for this program?
Yes, sir, if you'd like.
I would more than like it. I'd like to come back, and instead of taking calls that may or may not have meaning right now, Mr. Scheuer, I would like to ask you, if you were given the power to direct the military, just in a scenario, where would you hit and with what would you hit them? And what effect might that have on the enemy and his equilibrium? When I return right here on the Savage Nation, it's captivating, I know it, and I'll be back.
Savage.
Remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxer. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Let's pause right there. That was then, this is now. We have lost the war. We've lost quite a few string of them for numerous reasons, not the least of which is the American left-wing media. Right now, we're speaking with the man who ran the Bin Laden Anti-Terrorism Unit, Michael Scheuer. Michael is working on a new book called Marching Toward Hell. It's not yet available. I guarantee you it'll be a big bestseller. Mr. Scheuer, if you were given the authority as the czar of warfare against the enemy, the Islamo-fascist enemy, let's not mince words, they see a new caliphate. They see a new age of Islam. They see us as weak. They see us as incapable of defending ourselves no matter what our weaponry is. What would your targets be? What weapons would you use? And what results would you expect? Are those fair questions?
Oh, I think they're absolutely fair questions, and I think somebody should ask them to the president or the candidates that are running, Mr. Savage.
thank you for the compliment. I think we'll get questions such as, where do you get your haircut and what do you wear for underwear?
Yeah,
that's the state of the garbage that we're having to put up with now with the shills that are up there. But let's say you were given this authority, Mr. Scheuer, targets. What would they be?
Well, Afghanistan would have been my first target, sir. I would have closed off the borders and tried to kill as many of them as I could, and then go home, not worry about building a democracy or any other garbage like that. But you have to kill them, and we sent less than 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. The country is bigger than Texas. And we give them rules of engagement, our soldiers and Marines, that make them targets, not killers.
Oh, my God.
If you go to war, you win. If you're not going to win, don't go to war. That's the problem with Iraq. Neither the Republicans nor the Democrats intend to win. They intend to do what they've done so far and then find a graceful way to lose.
And, of course, keep this going for the secondary reason, which is the military-industrial complex reasons. You and I both know there are more contractors in Iraq than there are troops, and that there are fortunes being made every day, such as the $980,000 screws that were being shipped by two corrupt sisters out of Delaware or Maryland. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And you'll notice, Mr. Scheuer, that both parties have suddenly dummied up on anti-war rhetoric because there's too much money flowing into their coffers. And the biggest pork barrel recipient was none other than Jack Murtha, great hero in his own mind, who destroyed our Marine Corps by calling them Nazis and everything else and put these men on trial in Haditha. But let's forget him for the minute. He is what he looks like, which is a war profiteer, in my opinion. What weapons would you use today since Afghanistan is that horse is out of the stable? What would you do now?
Well, you know, the problem is, Mr. Savage, they have transferred problems that to a point where they can't be handled by the volunteer military anymore. There's just not enough soldiers. They've created-
I agree. No, look, as an amateur, I agree. And do you agree with my prediction that right after the next election, no matter who is president, there's liable to be a new draft?
Oh, I think so, sir. I think they've created such a disastrous situation for America that they're going to have to get conscription back in. And that's the big danger, because then they'll go fighting everywhere around the world where they're not needed. They won't win the battles we need to win, and they'll pick new battles that we don't need to fight.
Hmm. But let's say we have the manpower. What would your targets be today, Mr. Scheuer?
Oh, I'd win the two wars we were in. I would close the borders in Afghanistan and then prosecute as bloody a war as I needed to carry the day. But then, sir, I'd leave home. It's not worth the life of one American soldier or Marine to let Mrs. Mohammed vote in the parliament of Afghanistan.
And I feel like applauding, because I really don't give a rat's behind about Iraq or Iraqis. I really don't. And every time I see a U.S. Marine coming home in a body bag, and I know what it does to his parents, the broken hearts that last forever unto the third generation. And then I see hero Marines being prosecuted by George Bush, because fundamentally he is prosecuting them in the sense that he could end this persecution. I still don't know what to do except raise money for their defense, sir. What weapons would you use?
I would use whatever weapons were necessary, sir. If we had, when we had bin Laden, for example, at Tora Bora, a tactical nuclear weapon would have been the end of that fellow and all of his compadres, with a minimal amount of collateral damage. You use what you need to do to win. Once you win, you can talk about how you're going to help people.
Our Air Force generals still do that job? Are they still capable of thinking that way?
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. They're all singing, as we said, the same song, sir. Is, you know, we've tried the military.
All right, hold on. This is so good. I've asked Mr. Michael Scheuer to return. He's coming up with a great new book, Marching Toward Hell. CIA, many years, knows bin Laden, knows the enemy. He'll be here for your questions. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly.
George C. Scott. Reading the words, or acting out the words of the great General Patton, who today, of course, would shock liberals, who would demand his resignation, possibly his imprisonment. And, of course, had the liberals who now reign supreme on the internet and the media, and, in fact, in the government, been in power in 1939, you would be speaking German or you would be a lampshade. Welcome to the second hour of the Savage Nation. We were speaking before the break with Michael F. Scheuer. Frankly, a great American in the truest sense rather than the Blarney sense of wallbanger. Michael F. Scheuer is a 22-year CIA veteran. He served as the chief between 96 and 99 of the Bin Laden Issue Station, the Osama Bin Laden Tracking Unit at the Counterterrorist Center. Now, the reason we're speaking with Mr. Scheuer is because a report came out today which clearly states what we all knew. Anyone with a brain knew that George Tenet was a let us say, wallpaper, a patsy, a front man, whatever you want to say. In other words, a bureaucrat put in there both by Clinton and Bush to do their bidding. In other words, to not get in the way of the diplomacy necessary to make sure that the silk kept coming down the Silk Road, so to speak. Mr. Scheuer, at the break, I had asked you if you were the war czar. Mr. Scheuer is back with us. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, Michael Scheuer.
Sir.
If you were the war czar, I asked you what the targets would be, you say they would be, right now, they'd be Afghanistan and Iraq. You'd close the border and you'd kill them by the bushel. And you'd use, you'd let the military use what any weapons that were necessary. The last question was, what would the results be, not only in terms of killing bushels of them, but the overall results, A, in the mindset of our enemy, and B, in the mindset of the American liberal media?
Well, the liberals hopefully would have strokes, and they would all die and not think it's possible, so it would be two victories at one time. The important thing to remember here, I think, Mr. Savage, is that the military can certainly do more than it's done, but we have to have a set of politicians that, in the first instance, get us out of this business of depending on Arab oil. There is no more threatening country on earth today than to the United States and its interests than Saudi Arabia. Wow. And as long as we're buying oil from them, we're going to be supporting a police state that alienates its population and controls our economy. It is the most ludicrous position for America to be in.
So in other words, on the one hand, they present themselves as our ally in the war on terror, and the average intelligent person thinks, well, they certainly don't want the radical Islamists to take over because they would be killed and their royal holdings would be stolen. But on the other hand, we all know that the way they think is they are probably funding some of the terrorist activities around the world at the same time with their other hand. Would that be an accurate analysis?
In not only terrorist activities, Mr. Savage, but also they're spreading their brand of Islam, which is more vicious and more anti-Western than bin Laden's, through the money they spend on educating Muslims in Black Africa, in the Far East, and in Washington, D.C.
And how about in Brooklyn, New York, with the new Muslim school? How about in the instances of insisting upon foot baths in public institutions? That's all Saudi money, isn't it?
Oh, it's all Saudi-driven, sir. The Saudis are, you know, Osama bin Laden is not an aberration for Saudi society. He is the poster boy for their educational system.
Mr. Scheuer, you know, many Americans are confused, and they think that Osama bin Laden was sort of a Robin Hood, came from a poor family. He came from a billionaire contractor father, did he not?
Exactly right, sir. His father owned a company that's kind of the equivalent of a Bechtel in the Middle East.
All right, so in a way, he sees himself as the king of Arabia, and he was ready to challenge the weak West and take over the world. And isn't that more or less his mindset?
I'm less convinced that he really believes that there is a caliphate in the future. I also think that we make a mistake. We make that too big of an enemy. 1.4 billion Muslims don't all think alike, sir. And I think the glue, what holds bin Laden's people together, is the hatred for the United States, and especially because we have for so long supported Arab tyrannies in the Middle East, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Algeria, Jordan, Kuwait. And this is all something we can take care of. The further we disengage from them, the more they'll be killing each other, because that's where the scores are to be settled.
You mean between the Sunni and the Shia, for example, on a broad scale?
Shias, between the people that bin Laden leads and the Saudi government, against the Kuwaiti government, against the Egyptian government.
Wait a minute, let me see if I can follow this, because you're an expert. So you're saying the ancient tribes, the Arabic tribes, are still at war with each other?
Very much so, sir.
Mm-hmm. Because many people don't, you know, many people attack Israel and think that if Israel were to disappear, all of this would end. There certainly are grievances with regard to land that Israel took that was not theirs. Anyone who says otherwise is a liar. But even if Israel ceded all of that land, you and I both know it wouldn't answer the questions about Nigeria, the Sudan, the Philippines, Chechnya, you name it. Wherever there's a problem on earth, right now it seems to be a Muslim nation unable to get along with its neighbor, using Israel, of course, as the fall guy.
Well, I think, without question, our relationship with the Israelis as it stands right now, sir, cannot stand forever. We have to have a more equitable relationship with them. But the point you made is exactly correct. We need to have Muslims killing Muslims. We are in the way right now. They want us out of their particular region, especially the Persian or the Arabian Peninsula. And as long as we need oil, sir, we have to support police states and tyrannies that have ruled the Islamic world for the past half century. And that
okay, but let us say these police states were overthrown, as you call them, and let us take the scenario of the police state of Jordan being overthrown. You're not arguing that what would follow would be more friendly towards us, are you?
I'm not sure we really need people more friendly to us, sir. They don't even have to like us. They just have to be scared enough of us that they don't want to be killed by us and concerned with their own activities in their own region. As I said, I think there's a tremendous amount of score settling to be done in the Muslim world amongst Muslims. And once we focus them on their own problems, they'll be bloodletting there for generations.
So you're actually of the school that by going there, we've created more unity amongst the enemy than it had existed before.
I think so, sir. You know, the Islamic world is, if anything, more diverse and more fractured than the Western civilization, whether it's on sectarian lines or linguistic lines or ethnic lines or geographical dispersion. The genius of bin Laden, if you will, has been to find a glue that can join together the people you mentioned, the people in Nigeria, the people in Chechnya, the people in the Philippines, and that happens to be a hatred for the United States. And the Iraq War certainly was a turning point, sir. It was a disastrous decision on our part.
Unbelievable. Well, you know more about it than I do. I have some opinions that overlap with yours in thinking. When we come back, or right now actually, the name Jamie Gorella keeps coming up. People remember her. Who was she and what does she have to do with the intelligence failures of George Tenet's CIA?
Well, Miss Gorella was an assistant to the Attorney General under Mr. Clinton. And she established the process by which they called it the wall, a separation between intelligence and law enforcement, which made it very difficult to share information across that wall or through that wall. And it, unfortunately, as bad as that idea was, the bureaucrats made it worse on both sides because they used it as an excuse not to share information. The wall could be penetrated. I'll give you an example. Most of the information that was used to indict Osama bin Laden in November of 1998 was CIA information. And it was passed to the law enforcement people by CIA and used by the law enforcement people. So if you had people with goodwill on both sides, it was very difficult, but you could work through the wall. The problem was the people who didn't want to share information on both sides used it as an excuse not to do so, sir.
You remember Congressman Weldon and Abel Danger? He was on this show. He kept talking about Abel Danger. He kept talking about the breakdown between departments of intelligence. He kept talking about people like Jamie Gorella and others inside the Clinton administration. Last year, a terrible thing happened. The FBI broke into Congressman Weldon's office, arrested him, seized his files, arrested his daughter, seized her files. Do you think that was a witch hunt, or was that an accurate attack?
I don't have any idea, sir, but I know that the way the government departments behave, they're all afraid of the FBI. We had so many problems with, for example, FBI officers taking documents out of CIA, endangering the lives of our assets, endangering the lives of our officers. And we would report it to Mr. Tenet and to his people, and they would never do anything about it. It was like they were afraid of the FBI.
Did Abel Danger really exist? Was that a reality, do you think?
I think there was really a program for data mining, sir. I really don't know what they turned up in the process, but I know...
All right, we're speaking with a man who's been there and done that, as opposed to those who have been nowhere and done nothing. When we come back, I want to ask Mr. Scheuer, why weren't the hijackers put on the FBI watch list earlier? We're talking about the breakdown of intelligence sharing leading to the mishandling of information regarding the 9/11 hijackers. We're talking about the astounding report that has come out today, which you can read on michaelsavage.com, about, fundamentally, in my opinion, George Tenet's responsibility for 9/11. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I feel as though I'm sitting in suspended animation, like somebody please pinch me. Mr. Scheuer is not me. He's not a talk show host, and I'm not an ex-CIA agent. And yet, much of what he's saying, I've come to the same conclusion, meaning we're going to get hurt. Some of us are going to die. That's right, you, your wife, your children, your mother, your grandmother. Some of us are going to be dead because of the schmucks in Washington who refuse to take the action that's necessary today. Never mind what Tenet did. Never mind what Clinton didn't do. Never mind Jamie Gorelick. Never mind all the old names. There's a whole host of new names. They're doing the same thing, which is fundamentally pogo sticking, looking for their next appointment and their next job. Michael Scheuer, isn't that more or less what you feel? Michael, I'm sorry.
We haven't done anything to protect America since 9/11 because we haven't done anything about our borders. As long as the borders are open, America is a wide open target. And no matter what a politician says to the contrary, he's simply lying.
Well, today George Bush met with Calderon of Mexico and the Prime Minister of Canada. And fundamentally, they said that, yeah, security is an issue, but not as important as trade. Isn't that fundamentally what's driving all this?
I think that's right, sir. And I think there's still a kind of a Cold War hangover. They have a hard time thinking that anybody could threaten America that wasn't a nation state. And even after 9/11, I know we had people in the government who thought 9/11 was one-off, that it could never happen again. And I have to think that many of these politicians are more worried about Russia or China than they are about the people who can actually hurt us.
Well, now, that's a great question, which is the joint military exercises over last weekend between China and Russia. What was that all about?
Well, they're not stupid people either. They see that we are now involved in two wars where we're very happy to have our young people killed, but just to and lose the war at the same time. That lesson is not lost on our nation-state enemies. They're going to rub it in our face as much as they can. The Russians selling guns to the Iranians, going up in the Arctic Circle and dropping a flag up in our hemisphere. That's certainly, when a great power like the United States willingly loses two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, people will take notice, and it won't be helpful for American interests.
Well, China could figure out in 50 years or less they could take this country over without firing a shot if we keep going on this arc. Isn't that more or less what you fear?
Well, I certainly fear, sir, that we are running out of time to defend ourselves, and both internally and externally. I'm afraid, most of all, of people not taking this problem seriously.
The left says guys like you and I are hysterics and we're just trying to foment war. We're warmongers and the Muslims really mean us no harm. What last question, Mr. Scheuer, Iran. Is Iran as big a threat as some think?
I think it's a threat primarily because no one in the world believes that we have the gumption to go to war and win. I think the Iranians are encouraged by the fact that they've seen us lose war after war, not because we got beat, but because we simply don't have the will to win. That empowers the Iranians. But I think the Iranians are within 15 years of running out of fuel, of natural gas and gasoline and oil. They're on their way back to a third world poverty. If America is tough, this is a passing threat. But that's the question. Are we going to have a leader who's tough?
Marching Toward Hell is Mr. Scheuer's great new book that will be out in a few months. He knows what he's talking about. I suggest that we do everything we can to try to get a copy of that book before Wallbanger or The Golfer. But, this is a very sober day, Mr. Scheuer. You know, there's nothing humorous in any of this. You wrote the book Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. The title alone says it all, just as my book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, does. Sometimes a title is all you need to understand what the author is saying. And in those words, all I can suggest is please keep up the attempt to bang the drum for truth in this country, because there's so little of it. I know the truth to power is the ultimate antidote to what we're living through, which is this annihilation of reality in the American people. Michael F. Scheuer has enlightened us, and I want to thank him very much for being with us. If you have a comment after Mr. Scheuer leaves us, please call me at 1-800-449-8255. Mr. Scheuer, thank you so much for being with us. It really was not just a pleasure, but let's say a sobering experience.
Thank you, sir. It was my pleasure to be with you.
If only this government were run by men like Michael Scheuer instead of the others. Let us call them the others, the other directed others, like Mr. Tenet in the pink tie crying when he said goodbye. I'll be back in a year. So we have a bunch of schmucks running everything, like a putz like Pat Leahy, Democrat Vermont, attacking the Bush administration over subpoenas of who fired who, when. Classic schmucks, putzes and schmucks running everything. And the enemy knows it. You think the enemy doesn't listen to the schmucks like Leahy? You think the enemy doesn't listen to the morons like the New York Times people, what they publish, how they're so afraid to say the M word or the I word? You think they don't know what's going on? You think they don't have operatives in this country? I would if I were them. So if it figures that they do, and on a sex-obsessed nation, one pervert after another getting up on these entertainment channels, day and night brainwashing with perversion, it makes you not only know you could beat them, but you start to hate them and say they deserve defeat. Yeah, I turned on a show. I was flipping around for news in my secret Area 51 location last night, trying to find a movie. There was no movie. Then I flipped around. I crossed something on a Fox channel. Supposedly it was the hidden camera, and every scene is people who were nude. The whole thing was staged. And the first scene is two girls kissing each other in public, you know, can't get enough of each other, being pushed into a photo machine. And then they have the nerve to show the average man or woman in the street, Hispanics on top of it, giggling and laughing like it was cute, when the exact opposite would be seen from the average person. They would puke. They'd want the girls thrown down a well for doing that in public. They wouldn't find it cute at all. The brainwashing. And you know, the guys in Arabia are proud men. Make no mistake about it. I mean, if you don't know that, you know nothing. You can demonize the enemy all you want, and you could want them to die rather than your son or yourself. I understand that. But don't underestimate the enemy. And number two, don't confuse the enemy with a foolish man. The last thing these proud men want is their daughters to wind up a harlot, like so many of your daughters have wound up. Take a look at the Hollywood sluts held up as role models in this country. Do you want that as an export product in your country? If you were them, would you want that? If you were them, would you want an export product of the worst white trash this society could ever conjure up, held up as role models in the Arabian nations? And I'm talking directly to you now. The worst white trash imaginable, held up as role models, flashing their private parts, puking on themselves, running into cars drunk, partying and leaving their children in locked cars, going in and out of rehab and such, and then being held up with a girly giggle by Rupert Murdoch on his network and the others. Is that what you want for your country if you were them? Is that what you would want? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand what's going on in this country and how it all fits together, the collapse of our morality and the collapse of our will to live and the collapse of our military, not our military capacity, but our political capacity to use the military? And again, behind it all is this obsession with the bottom line, dollar. So I may say Goldman Sachs runs the world. You may giggle and say that's funny. It's not funny. I have nothing against Goldman nor Sachs. I don't know them. They're a great investment banking firm. But too many of their partners wind up in government positions dictating policies of this government that are antithetical to the sovereignty of the nation and the health of the nation overall. And at the end of the day, people who see only the bottom line see us as just another trading partner, not as a sovereign nation. Moreover, a rather small trading partner compared with emerging markets, for example, in China and India. Believe me, I know how they think. That's where we're at today. And where it all ends, only I know. So this is the Savage Nation. I decide you listen. I just had a one-hour interview with Michael Scheuer of the CIA. I don't do this that often. Very, very seldom do I get disenchanted with a guest. I think it was a great interview, and I learned a lot. And what I learned, frankly, doesn't scare me because I live with it day and night. You know, I walk around in a state of suspended animation. It takes a very strong man to be able to live in the present, to enjoy a meal, to enjoy his family, to enjoy the air, to enjoy his dog, to enjoy the technicolor reality that I'm living in, and understand that right over the horizon is a black and white film noir nightmare that could be avoided if only we had men like him in power instead of the bureaucrats who, unfortunately, like leeches, take over everything, all the way up to the top. And then you come down to the election coming up. Can you name one man who you think will actually do something to save 20 or 40,000 American people? I don't see one of them doing it. Let's go to the callers. Brad W. O.R. in New York City. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey,
Mike, I want to talk about liberalism. And basically, liberalism has become so establishment. And, you know, all these liberals are power to the people, anti-establishment, you know, we're against whitey, da-da-da. But really, their way of thinking is the
most way of thinking.
Well, and
they are the establishment they claim to be fighting against. Let's take an example. Dustin Hoffman. He still thinks it's 19. I'm giving an example. It's 1968, and he's fighting the WASP establishment. You get it?
Right.
When in fact, they are now the establishment. All the left-wing dopers of the 60s who took over the country are still pretending that they're in the street with the people, when in fact, they are the people in power.
Yeah, they're the people who are they're the most establishment thing going, and they think that they're the rebel.
So they attack a guy like me who's trying to. I am actually the people they portray in their movies. You understand that?
You're the rebel. We're the
Do you realize that I'm actually the outsider? I'm actually the anti-establishment outsider that they portray in their fraudulent pseudo comedies. In their fraudulent poses of being tough guys with the sunglasses and walking around with their arms crossed like they're up against the establishment. You ever see these images that they all put out on the news, on cable news, with their arms crossed, particularly the Schmendricks on MSNBC? Their arms are crossed and they're the tough guy. They're going to stand up to authority. They're basically just mouthpieces for the authorities. You understand that, of course.
Of course. And even when I was in school, literally, I had to take some sociology courses. If I didn't portray or think the way that they wanted me to think, it was like I failed the class. Literally, I would literally get a D because I wasn't thinking the right way.
Well, that's called groupthink or communism, by the way. Many people don't even understand that we're already halfway into the communist mold. You see, individuals like myself are the most dangerous threat to a socialism. Where groupthink, see, some people call different names, hey, political correctness, that's groupthink. You all must think the same way as they did once upon a time in the Soviet Union. You all must think and speak the same way as they did once upon a time in communist China. And what they have abandoned, we are now increasingly systematizing in the United States of America. As they abandon socialism, we adopt socialism. As they adopt capitalism, we attack and abandon capitalism. We are going to go through some dark ages in this country, Brad, particularly if what is going to happen happens, which is that one of the left-wing vermin win the next election.
Ugh, imagine this guy Obama running the country. We're finished.
Obama's a fraud. He's a straw man. He can't win. They would never let him win. He's a fluke. They invented him to make Hillary look more centrist. Obama's a stooge of the Hillary camp. I have said that from the beginning. He is a total fabrication of the Hillary camp. He is created by the Hillary camp. He may as well have been made by Hollywood. And he speaks as far left as he does in order to give Hillary Clinton the appearance of being centrist. That's how Machiavelli operates, Brad. You understand that. You read Machiavelli in college.
Mike, with regards to you possibly, I mean, I know you're not really going to run for president more than likely, but if you were to, why couldn't you stay on the radio and get this message out? I mean,
illegal. See, it's illegal, and it's a good reason it's illegal. Any person who is in the media who declares themselves as a candidate must leave the media, because otherwise you have an unfair advantage. You have hours a day to run for office. No one can do that. I mean, that's not right.
Gets on Hillary for having her mug in the media 24 hours.
Well, but that's a little different. Sure, she owns the media in a different sense, but I agree with that rule. I really don't want anyone in the media running for office and maintaining their position in the media. So that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, if you go on to michaelsavage.com, over 15 million people said, Mike, drop radio and run for office. I couldn't win. But what would happen if all 15 million people voted for me? What if all 15 million people wrote me in, let's say, once I said I'm leaving radio because I want you to send your message to Washington? You know, 15 million votes is not enough to win an election, but it's enough to swing an election. You know that, don't you, Brad?
Yeah, and Hillary would probably end up winning because of it, unfortunately.
Ah, now you're talking. So I'm the greatest ally to the Democrats should I actually do that, you see? That's why I'm very careful with what I do on this program, whether you know it or not. Brad, I'm glad you took the summer evening or afternoon to listen to the Savage Nation. What'd you take away from the interview with Michael Scheuer?
Unbelievable, Mike. Mike. Unbelievable. I mean, that, you know, I live and work in New York City. I work on 42nd Street in Midtown, and it's scary. I'm afraid for my life every day when I go through that tunnel, when I go into that city, and I don't feel safe. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's eye-opening, but I'm nervous that we are going to be, we are screwed. We are screwed. And
well, we're going to be whacked again. Every expert tells us that. It's as though we're sitting here waiting for the evil Arab to hit us again. It's like, Daddy, it's like I keep saying, America is like a beaten wife. And the beaten wife is saying, I hope that my husband doesn't beat me again, but I know he's going to do it. We're like a nation of, I would like to use the correct word, but I can't. I'll say a nation of wimps, waiting to be wimp-whipped. You get it?
And people would rather pay attention to Lindsay Lohan driving into a pole or Paris Hilton throwing up on
herself. But don't you understand that she symbolizes Lady Liberty today? The American woman is no longer represented by Martha Washington or Rosie the Riveter. She's represented by a dirty white tramp slut from Hollywood. Thanks for the call. I mean, I hate to speak so abruptly and so directly. I know it offends most people. They don't want this. Oh, no, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear Doc Savage's caustic reality and caustic humor. No. They want to keep hearing the same old lie. But I can guarantee you, every dog has his day and my day hasn't come yet. It will. It's coming. I can guarantee you as I sit here, I could sit out here in Siberia, the Siberia of the media, ignored by even the so-called conservatives in the media who didn't come to my aid, and don't think I don't remember who they are. I'll never forget it. I went to their aid when they had the drug problem. Fat Boy had the drug problem. I went to his aid. Didn't know him. Never got a thank you. Didn't expect one. When the leprechaun had his loofah problem, I went to his aid. I didn't expect anything from him. But now that they've stabbed me in the back, they've made me into their enemy, and I'm never going to forget it. Now, what power do I have? Probably none at this time. Probably none, comma, at this time. 1-800-449-8255. James, line 8, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Doc Savage, my father was born in 29 in Brooklyn, Russian Jewish, and he moved to Leavenworth, Kansas, and adopted me. And I'd like to say that I think he knew that the Islams were going to end up taking over, or try to, because of the knowledge that he learned from his mother and why she immigrated here in the first place.
Now, as a Russian of Jewish heritage, where did they interact with Muslims?
You know, I don't know exactly, because my father died in 84 when I was 14, and my mom is just now, you know, kind of becoming more involved. She's 78, and she's realizing what's happening to me, and, you know, losing my job, and Mexican.
Well, wait. Yeah, okay, James, let me ask you something. If you can still speak with your mother about this, ask her why your father warned you about Islam. What? Because I don't know in the Russian Jewish experience or the Russian experience at all at that time whether there was much of an interaction with Islam. There certainly was a horrendous, murderous, homicidal interaction between Islam and the Greeks, Islam and the Armenians. We know that. But as far as Islam and the Russians, I don't really know that history, James. But let me send you a gift since you have a little problem right now. What would you like of my vast array of items? Is there anything of interest to you? Would you like a Savage Nation cap? He's not there. Okay, you there? Okay, keep him on the line. Let's send him a cap or a cup. They're very heavy. And when you're very angry, they can be thrown through a window, your own window, hopefully, and nobody hurt. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. Seattle, Washington. Casey, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. You already know that I love you because I've been listening to your show forever. And you know what? I got to tell you, I'm not as educated as your brilliance doctor is, but I'm from Yakima, Washington, which is a sanctuary city. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army. And I'm scared to death for my life in my own city, and I'm furious with my government.
Well, you're more educated. You're more educated than the governor of the state of Washington.
Amen. Amen.
See, we're not talking about book knowledge here. We're talking about educated to the realities of what you're living with. Now, these sellouts, like your governor, like your mayor, are the enemy of this country, as far as I am concerned. By them making your state and your cities sanctuary cities for invaders from Central and South America, they are in essence displacing you as an American.
Amen. I went to
Amen. Yeah, you're amening. You're correct. Now, don't tell that to your liberal friends. How come they love the illegal aliens so much, Casey? Why do they love them? What do they love about them?
I think it's they love the fact that they may get a vote if they kiss their rear end enough and turn around and get stabbed in the back when they decide they're going to take over their country instead of go liberalism. Seriously.
I can't tell you. Well, there's a lot to the liberal that we can't fathom, and the simplest solution to it all, conclusion that I've come to, is that liberalism is a mental disorder, and thank you for the call. They should be fundamentally given major psychotic, antipsychotic drugs and or be put into re-education camps in order to save the country. You think I'm going to sit here waiting to say they're going to put me in one? I'll put them in one first, or I'll leave the nation. I'll tell you that right now. We're going to talk about that one of these days, closer to the election of where we can go should we want to leave the country. Now, I'm not telling you I'm going to leave the country because I don't think I am. I don't think I ever would. I am never going to leave this country. But I can guarantee you, should Hillary Clinton win, there's going to be a lot of talk amongst the right-wingers about, and the conservatives, and the patriots, and the retired police, and the retired military, about leaving the new socialist republic of the United States of America, because they know they're going to be targeted. Moreover, their hearts are going to be broken when they see what these feminist, anti-American witches do, should they seize total power, by the way. KNEW, San Francisco. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about the generals in the military. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and just from my view, watching these generals, and specifically the 3 and the 4 stars, since they're appointed by the civilians, I mean, as a junior officer, I'm cynical toward these guys because I know that they're yes men. And you see it in the...
They're exactly like Wesley Clark, who got where he is not through being a great military man, but being a good political player. Wesley Clark is a naked politician, and he got where he is simply by kissing the behinds of all of the top guys in the government and in the media.
Younger guys, I'll tell you right now because I know firsthand, the Army officers, the junior officers, look at that guy and laugh. And I mean, it's a shame when you see, as you look up the chain.
Well, I know a fellow who's highly decorated from Vietnam who fought with Wesley Clark. He won't even talk to him anymore. He hates him. He thinks he's the greatest charade that ever hit the planet in a uniform. So, Paul, what are we reaching a point where the younger officers need to perform a military coup to save America? Dare we even suggest it?
Say that again.
No, I'm not going to say it again. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. I mean, one thing is for sure. Fat Man and Little Boy were invited to the White House for a dinner with the president. And Michael Savage wasn't. And you have to ask yourself, why would the president of the United States, who believes in open borders and placating Islamofascists, have Fat Man and Little Boy to the White House? I mean, you have to ask that question. Los Angeles, California, KLAA. I listen to it from time to time. It's a great signal, by the way. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Nice to talk to you. I want to tell you that I loved your interview with your guest. I agree with just about everything he says. I love the eloquence with which you tie together the war on terror and the trash out of Hollywood that we're subjected to every day. The one thing he whitewashed over, though, was that if we do what he says insofar as going into the Middle East, unleashing the military, and then leaving and having the Muslims and Shia knife it out amongst themselves, the havoc that would wreak in the maybe midterm on the globalized economy with energy prices, et cetera.
Oh, you're right. There are. I agree with you. And I meant to ask him, but wait a minute. You say that we've created enmity in the Muslim world because we're in Afghanistan and Iraq and they want us out of there. And then you say, on the other hand, we should blow them to smithereens in selected areas to teach them a lesson. And then they'll respect us. But I was saying the exact opposite could happen. Wouldn't that antagonize them even further and unify them even more? Would have been questions I would like to have asked, and I don't think it's fair to second guess him because he thought a lot more about it than I have. But I would think it's a logical sequence.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean,
and don't get me wrong. I'm not an anti-capitalist. I don't want anyone to get that impression. In fact, if I had a company that I wanted to take public, I would choose Goldman Sachs. They're a great company, but we cannot let an investment bank, who are only men after all, dictate what a sovereign nation must do to survive, because sometimes the interests are not coordinated here. I'll be back for the rest of this show. Be here.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hundreds gather in Chicago to protest the arrest and deportation of Elvira Arellano. She was whisked away to Mexico after her arrest in L.A. Now immigration activists say their fight is even stronger.
The protest near the immigration offices here in Chicago was peaceful yet forceful. CBS 2's Kristen Hartman was at that rally. She joins us now from Printer's Row. Good morning, Kristen.
As you said, guys, dozens and dozens of people came here to the corner of Congress and Clark to protest the deportation of Elvira Arellano.
El pueblo, callado!
Jamás será escuchado!
El pueblo!
They support the 32-year-old woman who admittedly re-entered the U.S. illegally to be with her son. 8-year-old Saul is a U.S. citizen. The two of them sought refuge in a Humboldt Park church a little more than a year ago to avoid her deportation. Since then, she's become the local face, the local symbol for immigration reform. Very recently, she took her message on the road, knowing full well she could be arrested.
Oh, hearts and flowers. Another criminal that we're supposed to cry for. No, the government finally did the right thing, and I'm totally in favor of family reunification in Mexico. If she loves her child so much, she wouldn't use him the way that Cindy Shahan is using her dead son for political gain. That's number one. And number two, she's a fraud through and through, in my opinion. This illegal alien woman, whoever she may be, I forget her name, I don't even want to give her a name because her name is insignificant to me. She's a stooge of the communist left, as far as I'm concerned, as well as the power structure that wants more of the illegals here, and they're trying to swing your sympathies towards them. Had the nerve to come up with the theory that she needs to stay in America to be with her poor little son, Saul, because he has a dread disease called ADD that can only be treated in America. I think that's so astoundingly, well, I'll rest my case. It's all a racket. It's time the federal government did what the American people paid them to do, which is to just get tough on the criminals and leave us the heck alone. Stop harassing the American taxpayer and start harassing the illegal alien. That's the message from the people. Or we'll deport you out of office. We've had enough of you, you bureaucrats, you tenants. You're all like George Tenet, from the top to the bottom. From the local city hall right up to the top, you're all like George Tenet. You're in it for your own self, not for this country. That's what we're saying to you. So you ought to send another 10 million of them home, then we'll be happy. She should be the beginning of the slippery slope, not the end of it. And while you're at it, you can throw the ACLU out with them so they can plan the papers over there when they get back down to Mexico or Nicaragua. They can write their briefs down in Mexico since they love them so much down there. Let them go down there and write their legal briefs. At least that's one man's opinion. I have no power, of course. I don't even exist. As you well know, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, local paper, national paper, no one covered Michael Savage. I don't exist. I'm the voiceless, faceless man. And maybe 15 to 20 million people a week listen to me, but they don't exist either. They're not Americans. Why, the real Americans are the illegal aliens. The real Americans are the Mexicans here illegally. The true Americans are the Guatemalans here illegally. Why, to the American media, the true Americans are anybody but an American. That's because they're sick in the head. Every last one of them is sick in the head. Mentally illiberals. And they're killing the minds of your son and your daughter. They're poisoning the minds of your son and your daughter. Now listen to the doll herself now. Listen to the stilted speech they gave her to read in broken English in 14.
I cannot sit by now and watch the lives of mothers and fathers like me and children like Saulito be destroyed. I believe...
Hey, hold on. Wait a minute. Shut your mouth. What do you mean your child's life is being destroyed? You're destroying his life. You're trying to use your anchor baby as an excuse to come in here, and sneaking in the back door wasn't enough for you. So now you have the nerve to knock a baby out here, and now you're telling us we owe you a citizenship? No, lady, we don't owe you anything. The only person destroying Salito's life is you because you're too greedy to go back to Mexico and take care of him properly. You want to live here, so we'll take care of him and you. What do you think, we're all stupid gringos? Mamacita, we're not all stupid gringos, mamacita. Listen to the rest of this.
Troy, I believe in my heart that the people of this nation do not, and their hearts want to destroy our lives, our families, and our communities.
We don't want to destroy the life of families and communities, my friend. That's why we want you to stay in your home country with your children. We don't want you to come here. We want you to stay there and raise up nice, healthy, happy children in your own country. We don't want to break up families. We do not want to see you abandoning your children for greedy reasons and for political reasons. No, mamacita. We want you to stay with Salito. We want you to raise Salito. We don't want you to abandon Salito because your church masters and your communist masters have given you a speech to read. No, senor, you're not a good mother, by the way. You're a very bad mother, in my opinion. You're abandoning your child. You shouldn't abandon him. You should be a very good mother, and you should seek family reunification where you came from. That's the message that I would say 30 to 40 million Americans have for you, mamacita, that you're not going to get from ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox News, because to them, there's more business to be had in Spanish-speaking countries than there are in English-speaking countries, to be very honest. In other words, guys like Murdoch understand America's a tapped-out market. It's saturated. In order to make more money, he's got to go to China, India. He's got to go to South America. You're nothing to him. You're an English-speaking, useless fool already. He's got you knocked up with Paris Hilton's underwear. He's got Lindy Lohan's flash job. That's all. He's got you in his grip already. Next, Moloch needs to get the Hispanics knocked up with his poison and his filth, and then he's got to destroy the Chinese mind. Other than that, I have nothing to say about Rupert Murdoch and his megalomania and his media power. Nothing at all. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. If you care to talk about the 14th Amendment and why it must be amended, you can do so by calling the Savage Nation. If you have sympathy for Mamacita Elvira Madigan, actually it's not Elvira Madigan, it's Elvira something, who is speaking out on her deportation to Mexico. Where is she speaking, by the way? How'd she have a press conference in Mexico already? She had it in Mexico? Wow, she got more media coverage than I did. Isn't it interesting that the media would rather run to a foreign country and take the side of an illegal alien than of an American patriot, an American born here? Isn't it interesting how twisted inside the head of the liberal is, how mentally ill they really are? You know, one of these days I'm liable to get angry. I'm not angry yet. No, 30 million of us aren't angry yet either. But one day we're liable to get angry. Nothing will happen, of course. We've lost already. They know that. They've got all the power, don't they? Don't they have all the power? If they wanted to wipe out the 14th, 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, and 1st Amendments, you would do nothing about it. After all, they wiped out the 1st Amendment with me and you did nothing. You did nothing. Fat Boy and Little Man did nothing. Why, they pose as conservatives. Fat Man and Little Boy pose as conservatives every day, and they make millions of dollars a year doing it. Well, what could be better than having the yokel in their hand? I mean, Fat Man and Little Boy have you in their grips. And you believe they believe in the First Amendment, yet when the First Amendment was attacked with me, Fat Man and Little Boy did nothing. He continued to bang walls, and the other one continued to hit golf balls. And that's why I say to you, Mamacita, it's over. I'll be back.
Savage.
Here's the question of the day. Do you have a sympathy for the illegal alien mother who was deported? Do you think she should be reunited with a child in America? Should she be made an American citizen? Number two, do you have sympathy for George Tenet? Do you think he was just doing the best he could under the circumstances? And that he really did try hard to defeat Osama bin Laden? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Or michaelsavage.com is the website. I mean, I've done a great show so far. Now I really should sail through to the end. If you want to talk about Fat Man and Little Boy not coming to my aid during the protests and what you now think of them, I'm actually going to open it up to that. Does anyone think that Fat Man and Little Boy should have come to my aid, at least should have mentioned that a major league talk show host was being assailed and assaulted by the illegal alien mobs and done something to help me? Or do you think I'm wrong in talking about it? This is the Savage Nation, where I, Michael Savage, decide and you listen. I decide and you listen. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Cleveland, Ohio is the caller. Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to say I agree with you. I don't feel sympathetic for this mother, because when somebody can jump ahead of the line and get here illegally, all that's going to do is encourage those who are trying to do it lawfully to get to America to also do the same thing. She should be back in Mexico, and she should all the rest of them. And
But her child, you see, she knocked the child out here on our border. He became an automatic citizen with the anchor baby provision of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And now she's saying, well, now I deserve citizenship because poor Salito needs medical care and I need to be with him and it's breaking apart a family. This is a giant racket, isn't it?
Nothing but a giant racket. And the Mexican government encourages it, which is why I don't feel.
Did you hear the show yesterday where a nurse called from a Houston, Texas area hospital, where they told us that women wait in motels paid for by the Mexican government? They wait in motels in Mexico right on the border. The minute they go into the breaking of the water or they're about to go into labor, they're bussed right across the border or driven rapidly to a hospital door. So the little child becomes an American citizen. Did you hear that?
No, sir, but I am familiar with that.
Is that amazing? We're being destroyed by our own policies. It's amazing to me that this goes on and the government does nothing except attack Americans like myself who try to speak the truth to power. I thank you so much. I'm now more of an enemy to them than is the illegal alien mob. Do you know that? It's sickening. It makes me sick to have to tell you this. What do you think? I enjoy putting myself at risk like this, that I have to walk around looking over my shoulder, I have to broadcast from hidden locations. What do you think? I enjoy this? You think it's a joke? It isn't a joke. Try walking in my moccasins for a mile before you criticize me. So, well, what do you think about Fat Man and Little Boy, though? Do you still have credibility? Do you think they still have credibility with you? Have you lost credibility in Fat Man and Little Boy because of their shameful? Never mind Leprechaun. He never had any credibility. He always started out as Entertainment Tonight. Every day he looks more and more like the portrait of Dorian Gray. He looks a little more. He should really avoid those striped blue suits. It makes him look terrible, like Al Capone. He looks like an Al Capone type. Well, we can't call him Al Capone. I don't mean to cast any aspersions on the Italian people, so I don't want to say it that way. Maybe he looks like Machine Gun Kelly. Let's put it to you that way. I need to have a little fun. I'm not having any fun right now. I don't know if I want to talk about any of this. Hispanic, Scheuer, this, Reformation. I don't know. Maybe we could do something. Do we have anything fun for me to do? You have any rock and roll? Make it Rock and Roll Tuesday. If you play At the Hop, I quit. I'm throwing the microphone out of the window into Area 51, and the lizards are going to get the microphone. Yeah, this message goes out to all of my friends, Mamacita, Papacita. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, God knows that you don't know anything about me. You hear a radio guy, so it's easy to hate him or love him, but you don't really know me. And the fact of the matter is, the people who know me know that I have not a racist bone in my body. They know that, and I don't need you to approve of me. You liberals are the most racist scum I've ever met in my life. You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. When have you last had a Latino or a black person over for dinner? All of you good liberal phonies, you frauds, you. You use them like stooges and tools. But they're not smart enough because they don't speak the language well enough to know you're not really their friend. You're their enemy. You want to keep them as serfs in their little game. It's all a power grab using you to gain control as Democrats. That's what they said in San Francisco. Oh, yeah, I had somebody in San Francisco who was so pissed off over what the illegal aliens did to me through the supervisors and the mayor that he had a long talk with one of those people. And that person had the nerve to say to him, oh, we have nothing against Michael Savage. We only did it to make the Latinos think that we like them so they'd vote for us. Do you have any idea what that really means? When guys like the supervisors of that city will use illegal alien mobs and turn them on an American citizen in order to gain political power, do you have any idea what a disgrace that really is? Do you think that makes them into a liberal? Those people who stabbed me in the back, calling me names, trying to pass a proclamation to try to shame me? Do you think that that makes them a good American? I don't think it makes them a good American. It makes them the scum of the earth, no matter what their name is. They've spit in the face of their own heritage. Oh, many of them come from distinguished families and think that they come from great liberal or progressive traditions. They come from garbage, and they're acting like garbage. Oh, they may put on a nice skirt, they may put on a nice suit, but they're garbage. They're garbage, make no mistake about it. They're lower than Lindsay Lohan in terms of lack of character and lack of being a stand-up human being. You don't do that to somebody for political gain unless you're scum. And that's why most of them are on antipsychotic medication. Oh, yeah, you won't know that for a fact, but old Mike the inspector knows that. Oh, yeah, a good portion of them are on antipsychotic medication because they know that they're nuts. They know that they have no heart or soul, and they know that they're frauds through and through. Now, the inspector can't tell you how he knows that, but the inspector happens to know that. At least some of those wonderful supervisors who try to stab me in the back happen to be on medication, at the very least. Let's put it to you that way. Now, I have nothing against medication, but the fact of the matter is, don't use medication as an excuse for having no character and no soul. And by the way, where's the dad for the illegal mom? What does that make little Solito? Where's daddy? Who is the daddy? Where did she get the daddy, and when did Solito get born? And I don't understand this one. We're supposed to have sympathy for an illegal alien's mother who isn't a citizen? Where's Papa? Guess who's coming to dinner? I mean, who's Papa here? Dave, in Kalispell, Montana, wherever that may be, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. I think we're attacking family here in this country when we're trying to protect family. You know, family...
Oh, come on. Get off it. If she loved her child so much, wouldn't she be with the child in her homeland?
This is her homeland. This is the child's homeland. And
what do you mean it's her homeland? Why was she deported? She's an illegal alien. What do you mean it's her land? You mean there is no border anymore?
This child needs a mother.
Her mother lives in Mexico. So if the mother loved the child so much, she would bring the child home to the homeland and reunify the family. Come on, you're pulling my leg.
Savage.
Now, here's an interesting soundbite. It's a report from Fox News on China's campaign to foster faith in its products after numerous safety recalls like exploding pajamas, poisoned shrimp, toxic wheat. Remember that toxic wheat component came out months ago? I was the first to say, hey, Eddie, what's in your spaghetti? Remember I was the first to tell you because I understand food better than anybody in the media. In the entire media, I know more about food than anybody. And I immediately said, wait a minute, if they're sending contaminated pet products because of a component of a pet, you know, with wheat byproducts, then it's in our spaghetti. I was right. I'm always right. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm rarely wrong, and I admit it when I'm wrong. So let's hear this piece now about have faith in China. Let's hear 05.
China in an uphill battle to restore international trust in its products. China has launched a week-long series on state television defending the country's safety standards. The campaign called Believe and Made in China follows recalls of toys, toothpaste, and fish because of health and safety concerns. Some products had high levels of lead, chemicals, and toxins, and now New Zealand is investigating children's clothing found to contain dangerous levels of formaldehyde. The chemical is used to give clothes a permanent press effect, but can cause ailments ranging from skin rashes to cancer. The new TV campaign can be seen only in China, and is the latest in China's recent efforts to prove it's taking steps to overcome product safety problems.
Well, they could always bomb us into buying their products. You know, if we don't give in to them in trade, they can always take over a city and just say, you have to wear poison pajamas. You must eat our poison shrimp or we'll cut your formaldehyde. I mean, you know, there's a little bit of a myth here because there are many products in America that contain formaldehyde, and certainly don't assume that everything made in America is pure anymore either. The food and safety laws that once were quite good in protecting foods and drugs have more or less been so diluted under the Bush administration, I'm sorry to tell you. That's absolutely true. They have the worst record in history in food and drug regulation and safety. They do. I know many of you, we believe in the free market, yet what, to the point of poison food and poisonous drugs that don't work? or that injure you? No, I don't believe in ultimate free trade when it comes to that, or the bottom line in the marketplace. The fact is, I know this from the inside and out. I've watched both administrations over many decades, two decades, as a matter of fact, as a professional in the field. The Republicans suck when it comes to food safety standards and also drug safety standards. And they're much worse than the Democrats on both of those issues. Incidentally, that's a reality. I know reality. And I don't care what party comes out ahead or behind on certain issues. If I know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Now, with regard to formaldehyde, when I buy a shirt, which I recently did, every few years I buy a shirt. Because I don't know what to do with new clothing. I like older clothing that's worn in. And so I bought a new shirt a couple of weeks ago. I won't say the department store. I felt I looked messy. I had to go buy a shirt and pants. So I liked it. I looked very good. In fact, I was so disgusted with how I looked that it was a hot day and I changed in the room. I got rid of the pants and the shirt. I was disgusted. I carried them out I put on the shirt and pants in the dressing room with the thing that the rings. And I made the poor clerk take it off while I was wearing it. You know about that thing? You know how you're in bad shape when you do that with the guy. He's got to put the clip thing inside your pants. It's very crazy. So I put it on. I look good. I took the wrinkled stuff, threw it in the bag because I'm just too frugal to even throw away stuff I hate. I can't help it. The family laughs at me. I can buy the store, but I won't do it. You grow up poor. Let me tell you, you're frugal your whole life. So to make a long story short, I love the shirt, but there was a weird smell. It was beautiful. The collar was stiff. The cuffs were stiff. It looked good, but my eyes were tearing. I got it home and I hung it up. The whole closet was smelling of this shirt. And it wasn't the perfume from the ladies' counter in the next apartment. I said, oh my God, it's formaldehyde. I mean, they're still using formaldehyde in the stiffening agents of our shirts because the shirts are coming from Asia anyway. And apparently there's no restriction on using formaldehyde in our shirts. So they're making a big deal about formaldehyde in children's pajamas. But the mothers want the child to look like a puppet. Would a mother buy pajamas for a child that were wrinkled the first second? No, they want Johnny in a Ritalin straitjacket wearing pajamas that look like they were just pressed forever. You get it? Now, you want me to go into other food products and this and that? I could do that as well. I'll give you another example. I was in an undisclosed location, and somebody was going to cook shrimp. So she said, well, I said, I don't eat shrimp anymore because of the China thing. Well, she said, no, I'm going to buy them in the Whole Foods or something. All right. So she comes home with the pack, and they were fresh, not previously frozen, accordingly. I'm in the kitchen. She opened that package as though somebody had died in that kitchen. Everyone, whoa, what a reek. Get it out of here. We made her wrap it up and double wrap it in plastic. She said, I'll bring it back tomorrow. I said, do me a favor. Put it in the garage right now where Bonnie the horse died last year. I don't want it in this house. This is an example of the foods that were being sold today. You got to be so careful. You know, and now I'll go a step further. Then I have a woman who came into Area 51 who was the nicest lady in the world. She happens to be from Puerto Rico, married to a fellow from El Salvador. Again, great people. I think they like me because I like them. And I tell you something from traveling the third world all those years. I know something about people and it's everything in the eyes. If they can tell by your eyes whether you like them or not, somehow they know more than Americans do about eyes. I learned that in the Fiji Islands when I was the only white person in an all-black village and I spent many a night drinking Cava Cava or Yangona going back to 1969. And let me tell you something. They told me after a few cups of Cava Cava, they said, you know, Michael, we think you're Fijian. And that was the greatest compliment they could ever pay me. The fact of the matter is, she cooked us a meal in Area 51. It almost made me cry. It was so good. Why? Because she loves the people. She knows how to pick food. And I got to tell you, there's something about a home-cooked meal that's unmatchable in a restaurant. Why? It's about love. There's something about food when it is prepared with someone who cares in a house. And after the meal, I said to this lovely lady, I said, you know something? My deceased mother's spirit lives in this room because you are just like her. You made me feel so, I don't know, loved? So food can be love. I got to tell you that right now. Now that I've had my schmaltzy moment, we will move on to the topics of the day on the Savage Nation. I don't know what I'm eating tonight. What else do I have in sound bites here? Bush and Calderon? Oh, please, I don't want to deal with this. We know who Bush is. Bush is a hurricane that destroyed the conservative movement. That's all. Rollo, online, whatever, in New York City on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I'm not in New York. I'm not in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I just get you all the way through New York.
I don't understand what...
You're in West Virginia and you're here listening to me on WOR? There's not a station down there that has it?
All the way from New York. I don't know how they do it, but it's amazing.
Wow, what a signal that is. All right, so go ahead. You have a complaint. Go ahead and state it.
All the time. I just don't understand the enmity with Rush. You had a lot of troubles with him. I mean, you seem to always seem to be against him. And then you expect him to come to your raid. Now, he's never, I've never heard him bring up you in any way that was derogatory.
That's just the point. That's just the point. He's exactly like La Raza and exactly like ABC. How does he differ from ABC, CBS, and NBC? Listen, when they came for me in San Francisco last week, it doesn't matter whether or not we have a little vying and we all jostle with each other for dominance. What matters is at that point, you expect people in your business who pretend to be conservatives to say a word on your behalf. Did he say that?
No, Lord, there's so much that's going to be happening in the next 18 months, which you know.
Right. And we all got to join together. Yeah, right. We're all in it together. He really cares about conservatives. I understand. Fat man and little boy really care about conservatism. How come they didn't defend me when the First Amendment was being challenged? Don't they realize that if they come for me and defeat me, they're next? Don't they even understand that from a self-preservation point of view?
I could relate to that. I'm more on your side with the conservatives, but I just can't. I know what's going to happen in the next 18 months with you know, the Hillary and their machine. And if we can't stick together as conservatives...
He had a chance to stick together. One of his so-called colleagues, a conservative in talk radio, was being assailed and attacked by the illegal alien mobs who he pretends to be against, and he took their side by not taking my side. I have every right to be pissed off. And when he had trouble with drugs, my friend, and let's not sweep that under the rug, the pill thing, I didn't know him from a hole in the wall. He never did anything for me, never did anything against me. How come I came to his aid, Rollo?
I appreciate that, but when you've been doing it for the last couple of months there, for the last year maybe, how can he step forward and say, I've never heard him say anything bad about you. He may be silent.
Of course he said nothing bad about me. He is using the tactics that are being used by the mainstream media, who he pretends is the drive-by media, who he pretends is not him. When he dines in the White House, he's not part of the establishment? You must be kidding me. You actually buy his malarkey?
But I just think he's a decent guy. I think he's on our side. And we.
Oh, everyone's decent. I'm sure that Miss Alioto Pierre is a decent woman. I'm sure that Mr. Peskin is a decent man. I'm sure Mr. Sandoval is a decent man, too. Oh, they're all very decent people. That doesn't mean they have character, does it?
Laura Ingraham can't.
Watch out for the decent people. They're the ones who are the most dangerous in America. It's the decent, polite people who you really have to worry about. The ones who don't come to the aid of those who need the aid, or those who attack the good people. They're the decent people, huh? And I'm the bad guy?
Bad guy? I'm just not saying anything about being bad. I'm just saying that it's got to come together.
Rollo, listen to me. I'm very pissed off. I'm pissed off at Fat Man and Little Boy. I'm pissed off at the Leprechaun because they're next. They don't even have the understanding, the bigger picture, to understand that when they come for one, they come for all. How come these people, Fat Man and Little Boy, made such an issue when a little talk show host, an unknown guy in Mississippi, got attacked? Remember a few months ago, they made it a big story on Fox, and the Leprechaun had him on. The answer is because he was no threat to them, so they could make believe they really care about things. By the way, has Fat Man raised a nickel for the Haditha Marines?
Well, he's raised a lot of money for a lot of other things with the...
Oh, good for him. Sure. Mainstream things. Mainstream things that can't come back to haunt him. He doesn't take any positions that are, let's say, potentially threatening. Do you understand that, Rollo?
Did you hear Laura Ingraham last week on your behalf? Did you?
Yes, I did. Laura's great. She stood up for me. I love Laura, and so did Rusty Humphreys. Yes, they did, because they're smart people and they're good people. Rollo, I did.
On my call, it's just a hope that we got.
You know, Rollo, I'm like my mother. The last thing my people forget in their last days are their enemies, even whether we have Alzheimer's or not. You heard the old joke, and I'm not Irish. What is the last thing an Irishman forgets? You heard the joke, his enemies. No, the joke. What is the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? His enemies. You ever heard that one?
Right.
All right. Hey, look, they made me into their enemy by not coming to my aid. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to sit here and make believe it didn't matter. They attacked me by not helping me. And now they're going to pretend that they care about the First Amendment? Yeah, I got some words for them. I'm sorry that you don't agree with my position, my friend. And I hope that you'll continue to listen to my show. And if you wish to listen to their show, that's your right to do so. But when I was assaulted by 400, 500 illegal aliens and the entire city of San Francisco tried to write a proclamation against me. And remember what the what this was about. It was Michael Savage standing up against the hordes of illegal aliens and the liberal phonies in this country, positions that would be natural for Fat Man and Little Boy, who pretend that they care. So you think even for the sake of the movement against illegal aliens, they would have defended me, right, Rollo? Forget me. Did they say one word against them? Let's say they didn't mention my name. Let's say they don't like me. Did they say one word against the illegal alien mobs and those who were trying to get me? No. Answer. You figure out why they didn't do it. Answer. Why did Fat Man and Little Boy not come to my aid? Answer. Because they're shills for the establishment. When a guy is invited to the White House and has a dinner behind closed doors, that's all you need to know. And then he comes out and pretends he's not inside the Beltway. How can you not understand this? How could you not understand this? I don't know how to get this across to you. A couple of calls now, and I'm not going to talk about this forever. I'm making my point today. I may make it again, and that'll be the end of it. Believe me, that'll be the end of it. It'll be the end of it at some point. And the next time they come for Pillhead or Loofah Man, you're not going to hear me coming to their aid. That's all I can tell you. Thank God for Wallbanger. He's clean. Tim in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation. Tim, are you there or not? Gone? Gone with the wind. A perfect bounce into a zero land. I'm not doing jihad. I'm through with the Islam thing. I'm sick of it already. In fact, I'm so sick of it, I may go out for Iranian food. It's the only way to get even tonight is to have some Iranian food and try. I'll go to some Persian restaurant. Oh, let's see if I could tell you this joke. You know, when you travel, you hear jokes, really bad jokes that are fit for radio. They're so bad, they fit only for radio. Let's see if I can do this in a way that isn't offensive. If it's not, no, that's too dirty. Even marginally dirty. Did you hear the one about the nuns? I can't tell you that one. Did you hear about the man who goes into a house of ill repute and he says to the woman who runs it, I want to do it the Persian way? I can't tell you that one. I'll be right back. Savage.
I cannot sit by now and watch the lives of mothers and fathers like me and children like Saulito be destroyed. I believe in my heart that the people of this nation do not, and their hearts want to destroy our lives, our families, and our communities.
We do not want to destroy the lives of families and communities, which is why, if you're a good mother, you would bring your little Saulito home to your homeland of Mexico and raise him as a proper mother. And by the way, where's Papa? Where's Saulito's Papa? You want Uncle Sam to be his Papa? Is that it? Well, guess what? The lifeboat is loaded. It's sinking. There's no room for you and Saulito anymore. That's all there is to it. And don't play the hearts and flowers number with us. You don't belong here. The government did the right thing, and it's about time. That's how the American people think. And truthfully, we don't want to break up families. And you're abusing your child, Saulito. You're abusing him by not taking him back to his homeland with you. If you're a proper mother, that's what you do. But you're not a mother, really. What you are is you become an activist. You're enjoying the spotlight. You finally got some attention, like Cindy Shahan, who took her dead son from Iraq and made him into basically shamed his name by turning on the military. Dean bears down on Mexico's oil industry. Listen to this writing. If you were the journalism professor in your day, and the Associated Press writer Mark Stevenson wrote this paragraph, tell me what's wrong with it. Majahual, Mexico. Hurricane Dean swept across the Yucatan Peninsula today, toppling trees, power lines, and houses as it bore down on the heart of Mexico's oil industry. Glitzy resorts on the Mayan Riviera were spared, but vulnerable Mayan villages were exposed to the full fury of one of history's most intense storms. Now, let us deconstruct, boys and girls. Let's pass by Mayan Riviera. Let's go past that tourist phrase. Vulnerable Mayan villages. Now, there are so many things we can write about that on the Savage Nation. Why are they vulnerable? Well, because they're not made of first world materials. They're made of sticks and they're made of mud and thatching. That is why they are vulnerable. It is because the poor people are poor people. And so they're not really vulnerable in that sense. And what do you mean by Mayan villages? Now it's Mayan villages? And then we're exposed to the full fury. In other words, the storm is aiming for them because they're poor. And one of history's most intense storms. Well, Actually, it's not one of history's most intense storms at all. Because if you actually study it, there was a Labor Day hurricane in the Florida Keys in 1935 that was greater. And then there was a hurricane that hit Cancun in 1988 that was greater. So, you know, they're trying to make everything into a story. First, it did cause a little damage, but not what they said it would when it hit Jamaica. Cuba, not enough. So now it's like they're aiming at the oil industry. Every day they got to raise the stakes. Every day they got to raise the stakes. Dean had winds of 80 miles an hour. That's nothing. Nothing. I had winds of 65 miles an hour in the San Francisco area about 5 years ago and knocked down two trees. Did I go complaining that I had a vulnerable tree? That my trees were vulnerable? Vulnerable trees on Michael Savage's property were knocked down because the full fury of one of the Bay Area's most intense storms hit the trees. What is this? Everything's a news story. So now it's aiming at the oil industry. But the last second, the storm is going to suddenly sweep up north and miss everything. It's the same every year. They got to turn everything into a news story. But that's what these people have to do for a living, is write stories and fill paper. So they create sympathy for illegal aliens, and they create hatred for American patriots like myself. San Diego, Tim, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? We got 46 seconds. Go, please.
It's Savagito's way.
Lovely. Yeah, excellent. Love, you got to send you something for that. What else?
I'll stay on hold, too. I just wanted to say that Rush, I don't listen to him anymore. That is excellent. That fat man and little boy is like perfect. I can't even get over it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's gonna stick. Like when I used Mr. Softy on a guy in the Bay Area, he got it like a petite mile from it. He never got over it.
I know him. I just wanted to say,
oh no, fat man and little boy, this is gonna stick. This is Velcro. They're finished. And as far as the name go, they're never gonna shake it. No matter what they do, it's gonna be like doo-doo on a shoe, particularly a golf shoe. They got to throw the shoes away. That's all.
Savage.